This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Rochester's home for live sports and the best sports talk anywhere. AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
All right, you're back in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia, glad you're with us. It's time to get the latest from Orchard Park with Sal Capaccio from a radio.com sports sister station, WGR, in Buffalo. Sal, first and foremost, it's been a few weeks since we've had you on. How are you and yours holding up through the pandemic with all of the uncertainty and everything that's been going on, the change in schedule and routine, and especially heading into this week with the uncertainty of what lies ahead with the Tennessee matchup now for Tuesday night? How are you holding up, buddy?
Good. I appreciate you asking that. You know, I have a very ambitious and energetic six-year-old, so he keeps me busy no matter what. He's been doing great. His school has a really good plan worked out. So, you know, we're really thankful for that. We're in a really fortunate position to have good people. I've often actually said that the principal of his school is the Sean McDermott of principals. He's really buttoned up and on top of everything, so it's very good. So I appreciate you asking that. And then, you know, so personally it's good, and really the professional side of me that had to kind of really pivot and figure out what's going on. But that's what we're in right now. And you just have to know that, and you have to roll with the punches.
Yeah, it's been an interesting week, Sal. And I'm going to ask you this question, but I figure I got to throw a disclaimer here. I think most people know that you and everybody else not allowed in the locker room, and you lose a little bit of the feel there. And I think most people know that, yeah, if there isn't a game this week and it ends up not happening, there's a possibility that the bills would not get paid. So when I ask you this, I mean, and it's tough to detect this stuff over, you know, Zoom and whatnot, but what's your sense right now in the locker room with the Bills players' attitude as to what has happened down in Tennessee and how this actually may affect their livelihood?
They are very focused on just preparing for the Tennessee Titans, and if they are told not to play them, they're going to shift their focus towards the Kansas City Chiefs. All that other stuff about, you know, not getting paid and things like that, you know, they're not going to. We haven't heard anything from, you know, the players necessarily about that. All we've heard is, hey, you know, we don't know what's going on, but as soon as we are told, we're going to do it. You guys know the way Sean McDermott is. You know the way Brandon Bean is. You know, they're not going to say anything themselves or do anything themselves or have their players say anything or do anything that's going to become a story. You know, that would become a story if Sean McDermott talked about, you know, forfeits and things like that. That becomes a story. If Bills players start talking about paychecks, that becomes a story. The Bills don't want any of that. They just want to stick on, you know, what's going on. And there's still some ambiguity about all that. I think all that stuff is, you know, way down the road to even think about, you know, because who knows? If they even didn't play this week, they might play it later. Then you'd still get paid. So I think all that stuff is stuff the Bills and the players and the organization isn't thinking about or worried about, because they have people at the top of their organization. They're trying to keep them as focused as they can on what's going on.
Sal, how did the NFL go from having their plan and their protocol and really giving off the illusion that, you know, if something like this were to happen to a team, it would be a next man up scenario with all of the flexibility that they have with the practice squads this year, to basically shutting down the entire team facility and having the Titans be kind of like this example of, you know, a team that it's kind of screwed up everything, all of their plans in terms of scheduling? How did it get this bad this quick?
It's a great question, and one I've been asking myself, to be honest with you, which is we weren't told, nobody ever said anything, that there was going to be shutdowns of facilities, right? All we were told was, hey, we're going to increase the practice squad, we're going to give you IR to return, we're going to put a COVID list out. If the guy tests positive, he goes on the COVID list, and he can come back after, you know, if he's asymptomatic, he just needs two negative tests separated by 24 hours, and, you know, we're going to give you this ability to have this flexible roster. And then suddenly guy gets test positive and, oh, we got to shut the facility down for 2 weeks. And I don't know. I mean, is that CDC guidelines and is that infectious disease control plans that the teams had to put in place and it was part of it for all the teams? I'm not really sure. I think it's a great question because I've been wondering the same thing myself. And Micah Hyde even kind of echoed that when we talked with him on Zoom the other day, which he basically said, like, yeah, I mean, I thought it was going to be that case, but now they're shutting down. They can't open for 2 days. So I don't know. Is it one guy? Is it five guys? Is there a threshold to have to shut down? These things are very unclear. It seems to me that one guy tests positive, they're shutting the whole facility down. That's what they did with the Jets today. They send everybody home.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, so I don't really know the answer to that. I think it's a great question. And it seems like there's a lot of, there just seems it's really fuzzy about what that rule is with the league right now.
I'm also fuzzy. Why did New England get pushed back a day? I mean, we can't call that an outbreak, right? If only two players that we know of have it.
I don't know. I mean, what does the league think is an outbreak? And that's a good question. I guess because they just wanted to make sure that they had a competitive, you know, situation by making sure that they could be at their facility and practice. But are they going to do that for the Tennessee Titans? Because if the Titans can't practice until Sunday, then they only get, you know, they have to play on Tuesday. I'm also wondering, guys, so they said basically if there are 2 days of no positives in Tennessee, then we're good to go for Tuesday. Today's day one. There's no positives. So that would mean tomorrow's day two. If there's no positives, all right, we're good to go in Tennessee. Well, what happens if there's a positive on Monday in Tennessee? Players are getting tested daily.
Right.
Are they going to suddenly say we can't play the game now? Like, I don't know. All that stuff still hasn't been clarified.
It's an unbelievable time, Sal. And it feels like it's being made up as it goes along. I don't want to believe that it's being made up as it goes along. And maybe there are
right.
some local, you know, local policies that are in play that are preventing them from opening up their facility or moving forward or just putting the positive tests on the COVID reserve list and moving on. But, you know, we are going to have a game at some point between the Bills and the Titans. And right now I'm curious about how the Bills are feeling with the health of this team. And we saw the game when last we saw them, they were, you know, a little banged up. I mean, what do you know from this week's surprise? I know there was no practice today, but what did we learn from practice this week in terms of the health of the Buffalo Bills heading into Tuesday?
Well, I think the big thing to be concerned with is Tre'Davious White has not practiced all week. You know, it's funny, guys. I go on the radio here in Buffalo, obviously, at WGR, and Howard Simon, every Thursday morning, he's like, oh, this guy didn't practice yesterday. And I'm like, hold on, it's one day. It's Wednesday. The Bills this year, more than any year, I think because of all the less time to ramp up and get your body ready, they've been kind of slow playing it and just giving guys that extra time that they need anytime they're bumped and bruised, which is totally understandable. So it seems like their injury report's just a little bit longer than normal on a Wednesday. But generally, that guy is back on Thursday in a limited fashion, and then by Friday, he's practicing. But if you do miss 2 days, then you have to really start thinking about, okay, there's got to be something going on here, and is that player going to be ready to play? And that's the case this week with Tre'Davious White and Andre Roberts, and especially White, because Roberts actually was out on the field yesterday. He was walking around with sweatpants on and a jersey on. He just wasn't in pads. He was talking with his fellow position players and things like that. So I think that is pretty encouraging. He has an ankle injury. But Tre'Davious White, we haven't seen him. Haven't seen him on the field. Hasn't been out there. Listed as a back injury. It's 2 days of no practice. Today they didn't practice. So, you know, they did an estimation and said he wasn't practiced, but who knows about that. So that's where that stands. And then Matt Milano also hasn't, but he's not expected to play at least this week and maybe the next game because of a pec injury, and Sean McDermott termed him week to week. So, you know, I would say right now Tre'Davious White's the one to think about, but there are definitely some bumps and bruises and banged up. Oh, wait, by the way, John Brown had a calf injury. He missed Wednesday, came back Thursday, but we saw him actually pull up lame and start limping, and then he was listed as limited on the report at the end of the day.
And Sal, with everything moving to Tuesday, when will we get that final injury report? Will that be tomorrow, or do they push it later?
Tomorrow. That'll be tomorrow. So, that'll be tomorrow's injury report should be the game status injury report. So we'll find out. I mean, maybe they list someone like Tre'Davious White as out, and it could be questionable at that time. Like I said, this is not something, he didn't leave the game against the Raiders. So this is something that must have either popped up in the game we didn't know about, or he didn't leave for, or something that happened after the game.
I thought things were trending positive for Zach Moss. At least you heard positive things, mm-hmm. Sal, and then all of a sudden inactive. I mean, they didn't need him for the Raider game, but what do we know about Zach Moss right now?
Yeah, there's two parts to this. Number one, he still has a toe injury. He has been practicing on a limited basis. I agree with you. It looked more promising last week, but he didn't play. But it could also be because, guys, they did activate six wide receivers, and we know why, because that's the identity of the team now, right? And they may feel that, you know, they're okay with kind of letting him continue to make sure that he rehabs the toe and going with six wide receivers. And, hey, we got T.J. Yeldon. You know, Zach Moss, this is not to be disrespectful to Zach Moss, but he's not a difference maker on this team right now. You know what I mean? Like, if they don't have Zach Moss, it's not going to make or break their team. I don't think they need to rush him back or say, hey, he's a big part of our lineup. Because of the way they play football now, because the way they spread the field, I think they can take a little time here. But it is still interesting that he still has not a full participant in practice with that toe injury.
Sal, we haven't had a chance to really talk since we've seen Josh Allen really truly develop into an MVP candidate, the leader of this team, the true franchise quarterback of the Buffalo Bills, all the things that we were questioning going into this season. He's kind of answered. A lot of that, of course, is his development from year two to year three, but a lot of it, I think, also is the play of Stephon Diggs, and not just the play of Stephon Diggs on the field, but also the leadership of Stephon Diggs off the field. And there was a specific instance last week when we were kind of concerned about Josh Allen, whether or not he was going to return to the game with that shoulder injury against the Raiders, where you saw Diggs actually working with Barkley immediately as if to say, like, hey, when you get into the game, this is what's going to happen. This is what they're giving us. You know, I just wanted you to give us a little bit of what you've seen, what you've been able to witness about Stephon Diggs, what he's meant to this team, this offense, through the first quarter of the season.
Well, on the field, obviously, he's been amazing. You know, he's tied for the league lead in receiving yards, and he makes tremendous contested catches. He's just a fabulous talent. He's allowed everybody else to kind of fit into their roles better, allowed the Bills to spread the field with four wide receivers at a time. They've played more four wide receiver sets than any team in the league, which is amazing. And they're really able to get their skill position players in one-on-one matchups, and Stephon Diggs is just a fantastic talent, and he helps Josh Allen because of his ability to run routes, his ability to get open, his ability to make those catches on balls that aren't necessarily going to be caught by other people and impacts, you know, Josh's accuracy or completion percentage, however, like that one down the middle against the Raiders, right? Things like that. But the other part of it is, you're right. I mean, the leadership, it's the communication. What I've really noticed is Stephon is very big on making sure communicating with Josh, communicating with his other receivers. There's always talk going on at practice when I'm out there. Whenever Stephon runs a route, you know, if there's an incompletion, he goes to Josh and they start talking and they go through things. They talk with Brian Daboll. There's tons of communication always going on between them. And this goes all the way back to after they made the trade. Those guys got together a little bit later in the summer and, you know, they started working together. And we said, hey, it's going to be tough getting on the same page. But it looked like they really did a good job early on to establish that communication and know how to talk to each other and talk through things.
Sal Capaccio, he's on the sidelines in a normal year. This year, you hear his reports on WGR on the Buffalo Bills radio network. When we look ahead to this Titans matchup, Sal, Derrick Henry. Now, the Bills have had trouble. I look back to the Rams game and how they were able to get the run going, and I thought against the Raiders, okay, that's a better job against a good running back and a nice offensive line. What, if anything, did Buffalo do differently in that Raider game? And if you don't have Milano, that's not going to help, certainly. But your thoughts on the Bills' run defense going up against Derrick Henry and the Titans?
It's a tough running team to face, and Derrick Henry's a beast. You know, he is. I asked Dean Marlowe. I do a web show on Thursday nights, and Dean Marlowe came on my show last night. And I said, "What's it like to tackle Derrick Henry?" He said, "He's like Tremaine Edmonds at running back." That's what he said. I mean, you think about that. That's crazy. You know, the Bills did a really good job last week. I thought they were very well prepared for what the Raiders were going to throw at them. And look, let's be honest. The Raiders just don't have and didn't have last week the outside threats that the Rams had. So as much as the Raiders are a good running team and physical like the Rams, they didn't have the ability to throw the ball against the Bills like the Rams did. And I think the Bills could have, they zeroed in more on, you know, the running game and the ability to run the ball for the Raiders. So I think that really helped them. You know, I thought they did a great job of just getting to spots and reacting. And that just goes from film study. That goes from understanding, you know, what to expect from the other team. So, you know, give them credit. And Tremaine Edmonds, I think, was at least one. He was another week removed from that shoulder injury. I think it really impacted him in that Rams game. He didn't play great against the Raiders either, but he was at least a little bit better. But without Matt Milano going forward, you know, for whatever long that is, that's a big deal. This is a big spot for Terrell Dodson, guys. And this is a big audition for him. You know, he's an athletic linebacker. He's super smart, but he's only played two, three NFL games so far. And You know, you can I can guarantee you, it might not be Tennessee, but maybe Kansas City. If Milano's not back, I guarantee you Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes are going to know that they got a guy there that doesn't seem much, and they're going to really put a lot of stress on him.
And Terrell Dodson, I mean, tell us what you've seen out of his play so far in that limited amount of time that he has gotten to play. I mean, I do believe it was the Miami game that was his first game in as a starter, yeah. And maybe there was a little bit of overpursuit happening in that game, a little bit of anxiousness to kind of get to the hole before he needed to. I mean, break down his play a little bit for us, Sal.
Well, maybe, yeah, but, you know, he's also playing in the middle linebacker spot there, and I think he's better suited as a will linebacker, a weak side guy, which now he was playing last week after they basically took A.J. Klein out. A.J. Klein was playing weak side for Matt Milano when Matt Milano had hurt. Klein got beat by Jason Witten on a touchdown. He just doesn't have the athleticism, so they put Terrell Dodson there. I think that's where Terrell Dodson fits better. Your weak side linebacker in football, especially these days, has to be much more of a sideline-to-sideline guy. I mean, middle linebackers really does, you don't have the old Mike Singletary middle linebacker role that much anymore, you know, or Ray Lewis like you do now in the NFL. Those guys like Tremaine Edmonds, they do have to go do a lot of things sideline to sideline. But will linebacker is still usually your guy that's got to have a little bit more freedom to run around and do some things. And I think Terrell Dodson is just more suited for that. I think A.J. Klein would be more suited for the middle spot. So maybe they might want to flip-flop them. But he is very smart. The one thing Leslie Frazier has always told us since the beginning, he can play all three spots, and he's really smart about all three. Like, he knows what he's doing. So I think that's a really interesting thing to see go forward because, guys, Matt Milano is going to be a free agent at the end of the year, and I don't know if the Bills are going to be able to re-sign him. This could really be an audition for Terrell Dodson to show if he is good enough for them to basically say, we can let Matt Milano walk and keep Terrell Dodson.
Sal, I love talking football with you way more than logistics talk, but I feel like I have to ask you about the Kansas City game here. What are you hearing as far as the options? Because I would imagine if I'm Fox Television, I'm not too happy that my premier game there with Patrick Mahomes against Buffalo, that's going to be taken off Thursday night. So are they perhaps looking to move this Saturday night or Sunday night? What, if anything, are you hearing on when that game might be happening?
Really don't know right now. It's a good question. I'm sure Fox is not happy. You know, I originally thought that Saturday night would make sense for them because originally the debate was scheduled. I don't even know what's going on with that now. But, you know, then they could get away from going head-to-head against the debate. They could still have their primetime game on Saturday night. But you'd be going against college football, and you don't want to do that. But, you know, you'd still have that window. However, as was pointed out by a few different places, there's a law in place. It was written in 1961. That's an antitrust law that says the NFL cannot play Saturday night until week like 15. But I'll tell you this, guys. The law was written in 1961. I mean, there's a lot of things in the SEC laws that have been changed since then that are very old. I mean, you guys could say a lot more words on the radio now than you could back in 1961. You know what I mean? Yeah. When laws were written. So I don't know. They could probably get around that in some way. If not, are we looking at Sunday at 1 o'clock? And if so, is that a CBS game? Is that a Fox game? I would think Fox would want to keep this game. Yes, absolutely. It is their game. Question is maybe where they can put it on the schedule to get all those eyeballs for a monster Allen Mahomes matchup. And I'm sure they'd want to have as many people being able to tune into that as possible.
Well, we had two Monday night games last week, and I can imagine ESPN wasn't too happy about that. Sunday night, does NBC have exclusivity in that window, Sal?
They do, as far as I know. But again, I think this season has really kind of, opened up the door to other things happening. It's interesting because there's another game that was pushed this week. You know, the Pats are going to Monday night again, right? Pats and Broncos, as you guys alluded to. Yeah, I don't know if you noticed, but that game is going to start at 5 p.m. Eastern time. It's not going to go head-to-head with the other game. And I bet you it's because of what you just said, which is last week they kind of had to divide up those viewers, right?
Yeah.
I don't think they want to do that. They're going to go 5 o'clock and then 8 o'clock, essentially, or whatever time it is for the second game. So now you get a true doubleheader. So look, TV partners absolutely have a say in what's going on, but the ultimate call is the NFL, and whatever they do, they'll make good with them somehow. There's got to be a way for them to basically say, okay, we'll make it up to you this way or that way. Money, contractually, games, however it's going
to
be.
Sal, it's unbelievable. Let's try to continue to enjoy the ride. We appreciate you carving out some time for us this afternoon and look forward to the call on Tuesday night. Hopefully, Tuesday night.
Hopefully.
With the Titans. All right, bud?
Thanks, man. Thanks, guys.
You got it.
Thank you,
Sal. WGRradio.com, sports sister station. If you came in late with that and you want to get the entire conversation, radio.com Rewind, a great resource for you within the app where you can just go back and listen to any part of the show that you may have missed for the next 24 hours.
No Milano and Trey White. His situation is murky, to put it best right now. You can't lose to this team. Not after what has happened this week. I'm sorry. Can't lose to the Titans.
All right, we've got I'll Drink to That on the way next in the sports bar. Some takes on tap. Gino, I've got takes from last night's Thursday Night Football action. I'm going to allow, if you will, allow me, just let me bask a little bit in the fact that my Chicago Bears are 4-1 and they have no purpose, no reason or right to have that kind of record.
Yeah, yeah. What is Dick Duran coaching that team? Yeah. Didn't that happen once before? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, congratulations. Sure. I've heard that the Buffalo Bills should make a play for Bill O'Brien. You can imagine my thoughts on this.
Oh,
I'll share them.
Okay. I'll Drink to That is on the way next. And we've always got time for your calls as well at 454-ESPN. You're in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
ESPN Rochester knows there's more to life than sports. Kidding. College basketball and football.
Put it away for these LSU Tigers.
The NBA.
Down to Davis. Feeds LeBron and traffic glides to the rim for two.
Major League Baseball.
And this one will find the Crawford boxes for a home run. And all of a sudden, it's a one-run game.
Your proud home of the Buffalo Bills.
Allen in the gun. Steps away from pressure again. Fires it now on the run. Caught by Beasley at the 10. Headed in the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown, Buffalo.
Buffalo Sabres. Rochester Americans.
Although he's there to jam it in, and his third goal of the night as the Amherst take a 3-2 lead.
More to life than sports? Not here. Rochester's most listened to sports station. AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader. ESPN Rochester.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.